So welcome back to our first afternoon of our three-day retreat. I'm excited to have all of you back. Sounds like a lot of you had a really great lunch break, a lot of walking the dog, had some food, are renourished. So I was going to have Maria start us off with some movement, but it sounds like a lot of you got movement. If Maria's here, maybe we can have her do like a minute or two of just like post-exercise, post-lunch okay exercise so that we're not all, you know, moving it around. Is she here? I haven't seen her come back. There she is. You wanna guide people through like a mint? Whoops.
Hey, I am here. I am in my office. I'm not in my gym, but.
No, you don't have to be in the gym. Just like, just get people just moving and getting the circulation going. Is that okay?
Let's get out of the chair then.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Okay. Make some space. Okay, cool. All right, so in this case over here, let's just actually open the, can you hear me fine?
Yep, we hear you fine.
Okay, hold on. Let me make sure the volume over here is good. Okay, yeah, it's all up. All right, so let's open the legs really wide. You cannot see my legs, but open them really wide over here. And let's go all the way down and stretch. Keep your back straight, so don't bend your back. So you're gonna feel a stretch in your legs, especially if you're walking, this is good. And don't curve that back quite yet. So you're gonna feel a stretch in your hips as well as you're sticking your buttocks back. There you go, stay down. And as a notice that in that position, if you try to go lower after you're down there for about 50 seconds, you can reach lower normally because the body start recognizing that there is a stretch. So stay with it. So veer towards your right side. So if you can, again, without bending your back, try to touch part of the right leg. And you're gonna feel, you know, a stretch on your left if you went to the right, left lower back. And if you're very flexible, get low. You can even wrap your hands around your leg. Totally depends on your flexibility. And if you feel like your leg is not totally locked, you know, give it some time and try to keep it locking. Press that knee back so kind of really feels more of the stretch. Let's go towards the left side now. Yeah, and now you should feel a stretch on your lower right, on your lower back, I'm sorry, right side. Yeah, allow the body to stay in there and feel the stretch. Depending how open your leg is, you're gonna feel a stretch on your, you know, close to your ankles or as well. And let's get back to the center and let's get up. And if you have to, put your, let's get our quads over here since we're sitting, quad muscles in the front of our eyes. So you can actually put your hand somewhere. Let's just grab the foot. So let's see if you can see that. So grab the right foot over here and stretch. Keep your back straight. If you have, you know, any balance issues, so just keep a wall close by or a chair. Just put your hand in there. And when comfortable, you can kind of let that hand go so you challenge your balance a little. And keep those legs kind of, you know, aligned side by side instead of that, you know, knee all the way forward. So bring it back so you feel more of a stretch of your thigh. Bring your shoulders back as well. Take a few deep breaths as you hold the position.
Yes, sir.
And as you hold the position over here for at least 30 seconds or so, allows the body to kind of the brain to communicate. It says, yes, relax, stretch. A lot of times if we do it too short, it doesn't do its job entirely. All right, relax that one leg. Let's change the leg right here. Grab the other one. There you go. Nice, nice, nice. A few more seconds on that side. I can definitely feel my thigh. Same part of the muscles that you engage when you're kind of lifting up and down the chair or from your car. All those functional movements that we do day to day. We need legs strong. All right, let both legs down over here. And let's just get our shoulders over here. So just actually, you know, keep the arms straight to the shoulder height. And yeah, cross them in the middle. And on your way back, as you bring your arms back, I really want you to feel your shoulder blades. So be intentional of the movement. So now let's actually circle forward, 10 of those forward. So make sure that nothing is stopping you or you're gonna, you know, bounce somewhere. Yeah, and again, feel that rotator cuff doing the work. And let's change direction. Oh yeah, normally it feels pretty good when we go backwards. Open it up, open that chest. There you go. You can do this as fast or as slow so you can really feel the body moving. Good, over the neck. Let's actually go to the right side. So try to keep your neck straight. Just go to the side over here, stretch since we're looking down or up. Let's get the neck stretch over here. Be gentle with that. And pay attention to that stretch. It's not only the neck, get all the shoulder blades and by in front of the computer. We know we're using all those muscles. So this helps those muscles relax as well. All right, change sides. And you might notice that, you know, one side is more or stiffer than the other, has more or less flexibility. Those are information. So might need maybe a therapy ball to, you know, to kind of get against the wall and work on that to kind of relax. And now let's bend forward. Again, be gentle forward. Yeah, and breathe. And now let's put that neck back. We don't do this because we're looking down most of the time.
Yeah.
And that should feel pretty good.
Thank you, Maria. This is awesome.
And that trickles down to a lot of parts in our body. All right, so let's do some circles of the neck, 10 on each side. So full circles, all the way back, all the way in the front. Loosen up and change directions. You can keep your eyes closed or open, whatever you feel comfortable. I can hear some noise on my neck over here.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Right.
Realize it.
It's a really beautiful, all the whole body got worked out in just like a couple of minutes. So thank you, Maria. Yay. And Maria will be doing a full class, like 45, half hour, 45 minute, whatever it is, class on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And the link is on the page, so you can join her for that and get really ready to go. So I'm excited to have someone special to speak to you today. And as I was listening and taking notes on all of your challenges this morning, I was thinking, oh yeah, so I'm glad I got Summer coming in this afternoon. So for those of you who don't know Summer, she is, she and I have been mastermind buddies for the last few years in a group that we're in. And we've just like supported each other week after week and helping grow our businesses and, you know, position ourselves and deal with frustrations of whatever happens when you're trying to grow a business. And, I'm really excited that she joined us just a couple of months ago to be part of our team. Like she's been watching and going, I want to get my hands on your business and really help you to automate it and not work so hard. So what Summer's done for herself, she is at gutrebuilding.com and she has created her programs in such a way that they require very little effort. They're set up to run on autopilot. They're set up to like, you know, get people opted in and run and with just a little bit of team help to really actually run them, not very much. She's got these going. So she has a steady source of income from that. And then she can just choose whatever else she wants to do to create extra income, right? So I was excited to watch that. And I want that on my end of the business, right? Because I work too hard. And I want you guys to have that ability. So Summer's going to talk to us today about, she'll touch on the program piece, but what we really talked about is we really need to look at, how are you going to attract people in? How are you going to get people to notice you and know that you're there, so that you're not the best kept secret of all anymore? So without further ado, Summer Bach, thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm just thrilled to be here. I love the NEPT program. I've had a chance to dig in and see what you guys are studying, and I think that you are literally taking the Harvard of functional nutrition programs. So I'm excited for that. And I'm excited to talk about business with you, because I spent a lot of time, I still have a business in the health space. I focus primarily on digestion. And after wearing so many hats for so long, I kind of realized I fell in love with the business side of things, and I have a lot of fun doing the business side of things. So I'm going to share with you guys list building today. Let me actually get my screen shared here so I can do a quick presentation with you, and then I'm happy to answer questions or do hot seats if need be. All right, so this is going to be list building for health practitioners online. This is all about growing. That is what the main focus of this is today, how to grow. And this is my fancy picture. This is what I look like with makeup on. And let's see, I'm losing control. Here's me and Rita Marie at one of the mastermind retreats with JJ Virgin. And I have to say, meeting Rita Marie has been awesome, because working with her is super fun. But as you guys know, I mean, she's like super special. She is so unique, and she really has this way of walking her talk that I feel like so many practitioners just aspire to do. I feel like behind the scenes, they're like, eating their sorbet, and Rita Marie's not that. She's walking the talk that she teaches everyone. And I am sharing this with you because I love the life that I've created. When I first started doing this work, I was working 7 days a week, 12-hour minimum days. I mean, it was just nonstop. And it was really cool to get to the point where I can like sit back, and then the weekend I turn off my computer, I turn off my phone, and I can hang out on my boat. And that's just one of my favorite things to do. So I just have a couple testimonials here. I just want to share this piece with you so you can see how I've helped people and understand what I do. I worked with Dr. Annika Becca, she makes the Jolva product. And we consulted about that product early on before she launched it. And she just told me this in January at a New Year's Eve party. She was like, by the way, and so I emailed her, I was like, can you please write down what you told me? Because I didn't even know that that was the case. And I remember she came and she was saying, yeah, I'm gonna charge $39 for this product. And she said, really this is, that conversation, that one conversation that we had is the reason that my business makes $5 million in just 3 years after launching. And she would really have super tight margins if she was charging $39 for each of those products. We ended up deciding on $69. I was like, you have to have room for affiliate payouts. You have to have room for sales, discounts, all of that stuff. And that just makes me so excited and so proud. And I do a lot of work in the health space in terms of helping people create online courses. That is what I'm known for in the health space. In the like business side of things. So I love teaching people. Like, you guys probably know who Dr. Alan Hopkins is. So I helped him develop his online program that you may have taken. I did a workshop and really showed him how to create that and what you need to think about as you're creating a program. Because it's one thing to kind of know how the program is conceived in your mind, but to have people engaged, to have them getting results, to have them actually staying engaged the entire program is key. There's some very unconventional methods for doing that online, because it doesn't always translate the same way that it does when you're teaching in person. So the way I got started online, quite honestly, was seeing people in cafes and renting a library in an Airbnb situation, and like just trying to figure out how to make it work. I'm just one of those DIYer, make it work kind of people. And as I was reaching these people, you know, like in person, I realized this wasn't really what I loved. I tended to feel self-conscious about it. I was like cleaning up my house because I ended up having some people come meet me in my kitchen, like at the kitchen table. And I'm like, oh, this feels so invasive. They're like in my space. Like I was like cleaning before they came instead of prepping for the session like I should have been. And I found like, you know, maybe online is probably the best method for me. And so I switched over to that pretty early on. And I'm glad I did. It's given me a ton of experience, but I really love it because I've been able to move since I started my business. I've been able to move to 2 different cities with no change in my business. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's really powerful. And I think it's really important these days too, because there's an accessibility piece. And then I look at like what everything's happening with the current situation. And I'm just like beyond thrilled that like Rita Marie, you and I are like, we're already set up for this. There's no change in the way that we're running our businesses. We might have different like tactics or strategies in the moment, but we don't have to change the way we actually run things. So it's been really powerful. Yeah. So let's talk about list building for a minute, because this really is the crux. Like, how did I get to where I'm at now? How did Rita Marie get to where she's at now? It really starts with building a list. You get the freedom to move anywhere in the world. You have impact because you can reach a lot more people than just your one-to-one. You also grow your business as your list grows. That goes hand in hand. And then the income from that supports your online business. And then you actually get visibility. More people know who you are. It's getting you out there. It's getting you known. And technically speaking, there is actually only one way to build your list. One way. Can anybody, any thoughts on how you build your list? I'd love to, if you have any ideas in the chat, there's one way. I'm going to teach you guys the only way to build your list. So if anybody wants to write in the chat, I'd be super curious.
Creating know, like, and trust, Dr. Ali says.
Okay.
Promote yourself is what, I just missed who said that. Mary says, promote yourself. Okay. Promote yourself. One client at a time, Cindy, provide value. Maria, putting yourself out there. Patty, people you already know. Martha, email marketing with a giveaway.
All right. Let me answer this. Those are all really good answers. Yeah. Technically speaking, opt-ins is the only way you build your list. People have to have a way to opt in. They have to have a way to hand you their email address. And I think we make this stuff really complicated and we're like, oh, there's all these things and there's memberships and I'm gonna start an online course and an online program and I'm gonna sell blah, 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 blah. You know, you get all crazy about all these ideas and your brain loves making up new ideas. But at the end of the day, there's only one way to build your list. So let's talk about these opt-in possibilities. PDFs. Like ebooks, handbooks, recipes, worksheets, info only webinars. So we're not pitching, you're just teaching a webinar. You're just teaching on a topic that you know about. Webinars to pitch your program. So info, and then actually like very specific kind of info that's designed to lead people into the sale of a product or program. Challenges. I'm sure you've heard of some challenges out there that people have done. I know that Rita Marie, you did one feasting while fasting or fasting without food or fasting with food.
Fasting with food.
Yeah. Fasting without food. You know,
I did a keto one last year too, and they were amazingly successful.
Yep. Yep. Summits is another one, as well as launches that include an opt-in of some sort at the beginning of the launch, infographics, and gathering emails in person. I mean, I'm still going to count that as like an opt-in. They're opting in. They're deciding, yep, I'm going to give you my email. So let's look at the PDFs, ebooks, handbooks, recipes. I just want to get you guys like really thinking about this stuff. So look at the top of the screen here. This little opt-in at the very top of this screen, that's not the right one. What happened? Hold on. Hold on, guys. Give me 1 second. My picture, it reverted to an old one. I'm going to show you a screen share again.
Okay.
But I want to show you exactly what this is. I don't want you to miss this because this is important. That's so funny. It's an old picture. Okay.
Yeah, I want to be clear, right? When you're collecting people's names, the old fashioned way of join my email list, join my newsletter list. I want you to address that.
That's the slide for that one. This is the wrong slide. Okay. This is the top recommended fermented food for healing the gut. I have generated tens of thousands of opt-ins through this one ebook. And I've tested it. I've tried other ones. I've tried all, like I have replaced this with different ebooks, different titles, different things. By far, this one little tiny e-booklet, look, I even call it an e-booklet because it's basically the tiniest thing ever, is so high converting, and I can tell you why. I'm giving them a top recommended fermented food. So they're like, ooh, what is that? For healing the gut. It's a very curiosity building type of opt-in. Even if they don't really care what it is, they just want, I mean, if they don't care if they're going to use it or not, they want to know at least what is it.
You know, I want to say something about that. Mm-hmm. One subtle letter in that would have changed everything. If it said top fermented foods for healing the gut, people go, oh yeah, I know, sauerkraut and this and that and the other. You said food.
Yep.
And even people who are well-versed in it are like, well, I wonder what she thinks is the top food. So big, little things like that make a huge difference.
That's an excellent point. I mean, that is an absolute excellent point. So I agree with you. I think that's exactly why it works. So let me show you this one. This is what most people do. And this is what my web designer did when he first built the site for me. And I was like, get that off of there. I was like, that is not going to work. Sign up for the whatever. I mean, no. I was like, get that down now. This isn't how you're going to get people to actually sign up. Unless you're like some big deal that's written a lot of books or you have a TV show and they actually want to know your latest whatever, which is, you know, this rare. Isn't going to work for most people. It just, it's not. Let's talk about info only webinars. So I did one about health for health practitioners on niching, and I just made this simple opt-in page. Okay, super simple. Grab my free video training and learn how to I mean, look how simple. I'm just trying to show you an example of a very simple opt-in page. There is no fluff to this. And if you guys want, I can put links. I can stay after and drop links for all of these in the chat so that you can have access to them and the team can maybe get it to you at a different point as well. But this is really important to understand. Look, I have three little cheesy bullet points. Webinars to pitch your program. So three major mistakes people make when trying to fix their gut and what to do instead. This is for my gut rebuilding program. I did this for years. This webinar has generated me millions of dollars at this point. So it's, you know, it's pretty crazy to think about the way that one webinar, I mean, this one webinar, I don't use it anymore. I think it kind of ran its course for a while. I might bring it back up and keep the name and redo the content. It ran its course. And now I just sell the program on my website and it is actually doing really well there now, given everything else. But at the beginning, you have to have a way for people to know, like there was no way for people to just show up on my website and buy my gut rebuilding program. They needed this webinar in order to know what it is and understand it. It wasn't until I had more visibility in other areas that people came and started buying it randomly. Mm-hmm. And yes, I did try that out at the beginning. It didn't work. This is one for my fermentationist certification program, The Science Behind a Better Belly. Learn the five fermented foods for improving your gut microbiology. So we talked a lot about you know, why these foods are important and that you have to make them, not buy them, and then lead them into the fermentationist certification program. Let's talk about challenges. So Trisha, one of our mastermind buddies, has this quit sugar challenge. She has a price on here, but like, I felt like this was such a cute page. I just wanted to kind of show it to you. And like, you do these for free. My recommendation, especially starting out, always just do this stuff for free because you're testing. List building is an opportunity to see what do people respond to? What gets the most opt-ins? It's really important to just keep testing that stuff. Let it be free for a while. Yeah, you probably want to make money, but just make sure you have some way for people to be learning what you do and get a taste of what it's like to work with you or hear what you have to say and see if they resonate with you.
And I'm just going to add to that. Even if you're not new, it really works to do it for free. It really, I mean, I already had 140 person list when I did my first challenge, and I did it for free. I did two of them for free. And what it does is not only that, it lets you build rapport with people, get to know what they want and don't want, and then they're ready to go for your program when you offer it at the end of that. So free leading to a program or leading to a consultation or something is really a good way to go.
The simple green smoothie people did it there. They did challenges and it was like a 30-day smoothie challenge, green smoothie challenge. And they would just have one smoothie a day for 30 days. And they had a recipe for it. And they'd post it on Instagram and then you post yours on Instagram and you tag them. And I mean, they did this for a while. And after like a very short amount of time, you have to know that their brand was perfectly on point. Their brand was clear. Their messaging was clear. Everything about their company was super clear and easy. And they had a designer on their team that was just eloquent. And they, you know, they had one where they had over 328,000 people come to their challenge. So when they did an upsell to a very cheap program after that, they were in the multi-millions very quickly. Summits is another one. I did my first summit and I got 4,600 people on my list from my first summit. And that was a really big deal. That was super cool. And it really helped get me on the map because you are asking experts to show up and you have to position yourself in a certain way. And I was really thoughtful about who I brought on with me and who I wanted to be actually presenting with me. I really tried to be strategic, and I'm always strategic in my summits. And I have done three summits over time. And this was my most recent one. It was a few years ago, the Better Belly Project 2.0. And this one, we had 47,000 people register. So, you know, you guys, I mean, I started with like a list of zero, just like everybody, and kept building by doing all the things I'm sharing with you. I do all of these things for building my list. I don't do them all constantly, but I just make sure that I'm regularly doing something else to get people in. The only one I definitely do constantly is that little one at the top of my website. Mm-hmm. Launches that include opt-ins. So I used Rita Marie's Sweet Spot one as an example. Fuel your brain with high octane. Like, this was the beginning of a launch. This actually was the beginning of a funnel. So it had multiple steps after this to take them through. Still, it's a PDF. You know, it really is similar to the same, the first one that I talked about. But just to say, like, there was a strategy behind this one that led to a next step, to a next step, to a sale. Infographics. This is a surprisingly easy one. I know that I've heard you guys mention that the true Canva has been taught recently for this group.
After this. Well, we did an intro to it, and she's going to be after this with more details. Yeah.
Perfect. So this is a perfect, like, practical example for you guys to think about in terms of using Canva. Elisa Song does this. Dr. Elisa Song, she's a pediatrician, Healthy Kids, Happy Kids. And she has these are her infographics. The one improvement I would make to hers is I would add a logo for sure. I would add her logo needs to be on every single one so that if it gets shared, it's clear whose it is. That is missing. So watermark it, logo, whatever you need to do. But look how,
a real simple one. So I'm just going to say, when we think of infographics, I'm thinking of all these fancy schmancy things that you need a designer. Like, anybody could do that in Word. It's really simple.
This is so simple. And honestly, poultry is cut off. That's why I didn't do that. That's her. Like, it's not even perfect. And she had, I mean, this thing went viral. And when I say viral, if you go to her Facebook page, this went viral. Here's another one from it. Top glutathione-rich foods. And it's just a freaking bullet point list. Like, you guys, this is not even fancy. But what I think that she does well is she works well with color and she makes the colors look beautiful. And it's just easy to read and it's super clear. And it gives me an answer right now. And we can chat about that a little bit too. Remind me if I don't say it, but like, I want to talk about this concept of with your opt-ins, they really need to have immediate gratification for people so that they feel that it was worthwhile for them to download it. And then gathering emails in person. Now I want to talk about this one for just a second, because I know obviously right now you're not going to be doing it stuff in person quite the same way as we were, but I do think things will get back to normal. And I did build my business by teaching classes at grocery stores, yoga studios, local, like chiropractors, doctor's offices. You know, I would go and I would show up and I would teach classes for free two times a month usually, and did that for years. And I have a strategy where, and I still do, I did one just last year for a chiropractor here in Chattanooga. And my strategy is that I have an evaluation form, and the evaluation form asks them to give me feedback. How was the class? You know, like, I'm just asking normal questions. What did you like? What did you learn? What can I do better next time? What kind of classes would you like to see in the future? And then at the end, it has a place for them to put their name, their email. Would you like to be on my list? And then I have usually a place for them to check if you would like to receive, you know, my freebie opt-in. I check if you want like my fermentation recipes emailed to you, like if I was actually doing like a fermentation workshop, which is what I usually teach on. And then I would have usually like check here for more information about my gut rebuilding program. And then I would do a raffle at the end. So at the end of every single one, like depending on how many people are there, let's say I'm teaching a class on how to make sauerkraut, I will bring 10% of the people there. So like, let's say I have 70 people there, or let's say I have 10 people, let's do 10. Because a lot of classes at first, I had 10 people. by 10 people there, I'm going to bring like 3 raffle items. If I have more, if I have 70 people, I'm going to bring 10%. So I'll bring 7 raffle items. And I would bring, you know, 3 or 7 jars of sauerkraut from any brand. But, I did have my own sauerkraut company at one time, and I would use my own products. But then after that, when I sold that company, I started just bringing other products that I liked. And I would line them all up on the table, and I would, 15 minutes before class was over, I'd hand out the eval forms. I wasn't done. The class was not over. I had not finished. I hadn't even done Q&A yet. And I would hand out all the eval forms, and I say, all right, I'm just going to take a minute. I want you guys to fill these out, and then we'll get to Q&A. We're just going to take a few minutes of silence, fill these out. And for anyone who completely fills this out, you will be in the running for a raffle to get one of these products to take home. And people were thrilled. You know, we even sampled some. And so I'd even give away like half eaten jars of kraut, and people were like, yay, thank you. You know? And so this was really helpful, because then what I would do is I started gathering, this is a trick I learned later on, as I started gathering them up, I would look at each one front and back. They had the opportunity to write a testimonial on the back about the class. And if they did the front and back, I would put it on the top, and everybody else who filled it out halfway would go on the bottom. And I would start picking out it wasn't technically random. I would pick out the people who I felt like deserved to win the raffle. I would pick out the most highly engaged people, the people who were respectful, that asked good questions, and that, you know, really just seemed enthusiastic to be there. I wanted to reward their enthusiasm. And then I would, at the end of the class, when I would go home, you know, once I had an assistant, I would hand it all over to my assistant, and she would input everything. I mean, and when my assistant's in another place, I would just stick them in an envelope, mail them over to her, let her input everything, and have her email everything that we talked about from the class on that eval form. And at first I was doing it myself. You know, I still have those, which is crazy. We need to just probably throw them away because we have their information. But I kind of like keep them because I think it's fascinating. You do learn a lot when you get a chance to see what people were saying, you know, what you were doing back in the day. And you realize sometimes even like the confidence that you had back then that may have not felt like full confidence, you should have had full confidence because people were really excited to hear what you had to say. So that's a really important aspect of this that I can't help but bring this piece up. So let's talk a little bit about the secrets to get people to share your opt-in, because, you know, if you don't have a list and you just pop something up, how are people going to get there? You know, what I would do is just make sure that you're making it beautiful. And I don't want you to be a perfectionist about this. This doesn't mean, you know, get stuck and paralyzed. It just means have some sense of aesthetic. Like you saw, you know, Dr. Elisa Song's infographics. They're beautiful. They're not perfect. They're not perfectly designed, but they are beautiful. So make sure you have something there that's beautiful. Try to make the content better than anything else on that topic. That will make a difference. Or say something that other people aren't saying about it. Infuse your personality into it. Is there a way to show who you are? Maybe you have goofy pictures of you in your info, like in your PDF, like in your e-booklet. You have goofy pictures of you doing something weird, or, you know, you talk about, like, I have taken a bath in sauerkraut brine because that's so weird. Like sharing little weird factoids like that, like to let people understand who you are as a person. And that's building that know, like, and trust factor. And that's going to make it more likely that they share it. Be unique, be yourself, but like let your message shine through. And I'll add to this, which I think is really important, because I heard that some people were saying, like, I don't know everything. Teach what you know. Don't teach what you don't know. If you have to sit and research all of this to try to compile your ebook, you're not doing it on the right topic. You should be able to sit down and write your ebook from beginning to end. If you want to spend a few minutes finding some citations to add to it for credibility, go for it. But if you have to sit there and research the whole thing and write like a term paper, you're not teaching from your heart, and you're not teaching what you already know. And if you're teaching what you don't know, you're going to feel like a fraud every step of the way. All the people that you bring in who came in through that ebook, they're not even going to be the right kind of clients for you. Teach what you know, exactly what you know, because what you know, even if it feels easy or piddly or unimportant to you, that's just because you're comparing yourself to someone else. If you realize that what you know right now could save somebody's life today, and you honor that, that's going to make a huge difference. And the truth is like, I'm not a doctor. I mean, there's a ton of things I don't know, but I do know that I can change somebody's life. Like, I have changed people's life. Some people have said I've saved their lives. I believe them because I know where they were when they came to me. They were not well at all. And, you know, what am I doing? I'm not necessarily going, okay, here, you need to eat this exact food, and you need to eat this exact food. I'm teaching them how to be empowered. I'm teaching them how to make decisions for themselves. I'm teaching them how to get unstuck. Like we all have a strength. And you, over time, as you deliver these opt-ins and you start to get feedback about them, you're going to start to learn what your strength is. And what I learned over time with my teaching style is I can coach people all day long, but most people in my world want to know how I did it and what I did. So I've learned, like, that's when people light up. That's when they're paying attention. When I say, here's how I did it, here's what I did. So I just go with that because I've learned when I try to veer from that mentality or try to veer from that teaching style, they don't care as much. I don't have to know why. I don't have to understand it. And you know what? It doesn't really matter. I just keep doing what works. And that's what I encourage you to do as well. Be prolific. Rita Marie, you are a perfect example of prolific. Just put it out there. Keep making stuff. Make it so easy that there's no obstacles. If I say make it beautiful and then you don't make something, then I'm going to tell you, I'm going to change that one to make it ugly, you know, because it's more important that you make it prolific than beautiful. Just get it out there, you know? And when I say make it beautiful, it doesn't have to be flashy or crazy. Just like get it out there. Please get it out there. This is so important. This information will save people's lives. And then I think also another secret is to entice enthusiasm. A lot of times in marketing, we hear a lot about problem solution. What's the problem? My program is the solution. Well, what I've noticed is that with my fermentation and certification program, we really struggle. For a long time, we struggled with this concept of what's the problem that my, you know, ideal customer is dealing with to come into the fermentation and certification program. And what we realize is, you know what? They don't have a problem. They have enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And so with that program, we market towards enthusiastic people and we market with enthusiasm. Like we're talking about like the nerdiness of it. We're like, we are enthusiastic about it. We're like getting this different kind of energy versus my gut rebuilding program, which is very much, you have a problem. I have a solution. Mm-hmm. You know? People are not necessarily excited. They're desperate. It's different. It's a different vibe. And then solving a real problem for people, but without holding back. All right. So a lot of people, when you have free information, you're afraid to put what might be in your future program. It's like, there's a lot of people when they're starting out, withhold. Don't withhold information. Just put it all out there. There is no scarcity. You can still create a program that's mirroring your ebook. But it's going to be different when you create a full program with video. They have a chance to interact with you in a different way. Just don't hold back. But you still want to keep it simple enough for people to achieve results. Like what I was saying earlier, this immediate gratification piece. It's important. When people open a PDF, they really want to have a sense of success when they go through it. They don't want you to give them a list of things that they would have to do for the next year in order to be successful. So you have to think about, you know, solve the problem, but be really clear that like people need that dopamine hit to be able to keep coming back to what you have to offer. Elisa Songs, very good example of a dopamine hit. Oh, look, she gave me this list. Guess what? I'm not going to eat anything on that. Guess what? I don't really care, but I feel like I learned something. I've got this immediate hit of dopamine and some people are going to use it. I'm not saying it's useless information, but they're more, you more want to be giving them you're giving them trust. You're giving them trust that you know and trust that you can give them something of value right then, right there, without making them feel like it's going to be a massive amount of work to be around you. I'm going to put this also in the links, but you know, I talked about making it beautiful. There is this woman and she has a download. I think it's $79 and you can create your own custom cookbook and it's gorgeous. And it's in an Adobe file. So you do, I think, have to have Adobe InDesign for this to work. But I think this is a brilliantly easy way to set up any ebook. So any opt-in that you have, if you're struggling with making it beautiful, if you're struggling with the formatting, you probably don't want to hire a designer, I'll be honest, because going back and forth with a designer is totally crazy. Getting this template could be the best thing that you do for starting this process on developing your opt-in right now, because you can literally just follow along, drop, you know, change the copy, you're done, easy peasy.
Our next speaker in talking about Canva is going to talk about the templates that Canva has and going to show us how to create an ebook in Canva. So that's, you guys, awesome. Are going to go from this to, okay, now how do you do it?
I'm so excited for that. I love the flow. And then this is another really important thing. So I know a lot of people want to create programs, they want to launch. And the truth is, if you launch without having consistent and quality free content, your launch isn't going to do as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think having that consistency and that quality is crucial for you guys. So think about what you need to do to set up a schedule and start producing content on a regular basis and come up with a schedule that works for you. If it's once a month, that's fine. If it's every other month, that's fine. Just be consistent, create quality information, and think about a way to do it. Like maybe you have your one PDF that you create, and then maybe every month you create a new infographic for people, you know, and you can email it out to your existing list and you can put it on Facebook and you can send it to all these various places to get people knowing about it. So I that's basically my slideshow. I wanted to make sure we have time for hot seats and questions and really see how I can help you guys move forward with what you're working on. And I'm happy to talk about programs and things like that if that makes sense. But I here's the one thing I want to say, because yesterday we talked about mini courses at the NEPA retreat. And the interesting thing I realized is that for some people, creating an opt-in and then creating something to sell is a challenge. Like that's two steps of technology. If I can just get you to do the one step of creating an opt-in and mastering that to where you know how to do it, you know what email server you're using, you know what kind, like what your blog is or what your website is and how to get an opt-in up there and how to embed that little form that has their name and their email. If you can just get through the hurdle of that one piece of technology, that's mm-hmm. going to make a big difference, because get through that hurdle a few times to where you know how to create an opt-in. It's easy. And then you can start adding the selling piece later. If I'm giving you guys too many steps all at once, a lot of people are going to be like, well, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how to set up all this technology. So just start with what's easy and get good at it. And then over time, as you get, you know, consistently do this, you're going to become great at it. And over time it will become simple, and then it gets very easy.
Mm-hmm. I love what you just said. And I want to add to that, that don't even have to have anything to sell to just start collecting people's names and communicating with them. I did that for a long time. I would do all these free webinars and collect names. And I'm like, I guess I should try to sell them something. Like, what should I try to sell them? You know, and then I created a program. And a friend of mine, who started the Vegetarian Health Network, he decided he was in marketing. He had a full-time job, but he liked sharing recipes. So he collected recipes and he created this mail list where he just collected a recipe. And he sent out a recipe every week to people on his mailing list. He did that for 3 years until he had 70,000 people on his list. And then he said, well, I probably have enough people here that I could create a course and maybe I could quit my day job. And, you know, so that evolved that way. So you don't have to have something you're already wanting to sell. You have to have something you want to share. And how can you make a difference right now by giving information out? Don't give people information without them giving you something in return, which is their email address, because then you don't have a way to communicate with them afterwards. But get that stuff out there. Karen, you're prolific with recipes. You have a ton of stuff, right? There's so much that you guys can do. Even a simple exercise video on how to do something or other. What do you do? What are you excited about sharing? And how does that then eventually lead them? Either you can just lead them to a consultation with you. You'd have free, and just say, hey, sign up for a consultation. Let's see if I can help you further. And that works really, really well too.
Yeah, absolutely. I would almost venture to say that right now, like, the internet is a little bit more flooded than it's ever been with health practitioners or businesses in general. And I think that can be really intimidating for a lot of people, because they're like, wow, somebody else is already doing it. But the truth is there's somebody who hasn't even started yet, who, if you don't get your butt in gear, they're going to be at a multimillion-dollar business in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And they haven't even started yet, because they're just going to get in there. They're going to hit the ground running, and then they're going to start doing all of these steps. And I truly believe that given the changes that have happened in the online industry, that one of your best methods for actually creating a really solid business at this point in time means actually developing the audience first. Like, don't be afraid to just develop the audience first and let them tell you what they want as you move forward. You know, share things that you love to share. Be excited about it. Share things that are genuinely fun and easy for you to create. They're not challenging. If it's hard for you to create any of the things I said, you need to brainstorm and start thinking of new things that you could create, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's really important. And like, what could you create that would actually feel good, that would be easy, that you can get out there consistently and easily? And then at that point, you can start building that list, building that audience, and then they can tell you, hey, you know what? We really want more. And there's going to be a certain point in time where you can go, wow, like that guy, 70,000 people. It's like the minute he sold something, I guarantee you he did amazingly well because these people had that feeling of trust. They understood that, like, he mastered the part that sometimes we can miss. If we go in and start selling programs and we don't have the consistency of like delivering content, free content on a regular basis, if we miss that step and we try to do a launch and then we're like running on a hamster wheel of the launch and then running on a hamster wheel of this and that, you know, running on all these hamster wheels, we often let the consistency of that free offering or whatever that freebie is that you're creating for people, we let it slip. Mm-hmm. And that consistency will hurt you in the long run. That's the know, like, and trust. That's the trust, in my opinion. That's the trust factor. So I think this is a really cool way of going about it. I know that people want to make money and they want to make money quickly. And I really just believe if you guys all know how to do consultations with people. So you have that ability. And when it comes to programs, let's like kind of lead this into programs just briefly. I want to say a couple things about online programs. One is, you know, there's a few ways that you know that you're really ready to create an online program for a group of people. One is saying like, wow, I can't take on more people. You know, I can't do any more one-on-ones. I don't have any more time because I'm doing too many one-on-ones and there's just no more room in my schedule. Another one is that you have done consistent one-on-ones for a long enough time and you're saying, oh, I don't want to teach the same thing every time. I've said this like 25 times this week. I don't want to say it ever again, you know? And that's when you probably are in a good position to start transitioning to creating an online program for people. And then the third very crucial part of this is having a list, having people to actually sell it to you. If you have those first two in place and you don't have a list, it's going to be hard to launch because you don't have anybody to sell it to yet. So that's what I always tell people is make sure you have those pieces in place. And if you don't, you really need to focus on this list building piece. Mm-hmm. And this list building piece is going to give you something that normally you really, like, it's really easy to get in person. So when I'm standing in front of a group of people teaching a class, I get their head nods. I feel their energy. I see people not being distracted. I see, you know, if somebody's rummaging through their purse and like they dump everything out on the floor and they decide now is the moment they're going to clean out their purse, clearly this is not engaging for them. You know, so I've learned over time how to communicate in a way that, you know, I know this topic is engaging. You have to know your client. You have to know what people want. And it's hard to do that when you are online because you can't see people's faces as easily. You don't know their reaction when they open up your email and they're like sobbing or they're like, yes, you know, like you're missing out on all these crucial moments that let you know it's working. And you may actually believe it's not working when it is because you don't realize that they're having these instances, they're having these moments without you because we're separate. We're like, you know, separated by these screens and by geography and all these other things. So I think it's really important to remember that and let your freebies and these list building opportunities be the chance for people to respond back and say, wow, I really loved that. That was great. If you don't get any signups for something, but you get like 500 signups for this other thing, you're following the trail, right? You're like, oh, people are interested in that. Cool. Okay. Wow. Like Paleo Hacks is a company. And so the website that does recipes, and they found that their number one converting blog posts are desserts, paleo desserts. Mm. So they did this by looking at their Google Analytics. They just noticed, wow, we get a lot more people coming over to our page from this. So what did they do? They kept doing more of what worked. They can't do an entire site on paleo desserts, but they make sure that it's like one out of every three posts is now going to be paleo desserts. So they move toward what works. And that's really what we're doing. All the stuff that we do in business is like, okay, it's an intersection between your passion, what you like to do, and what's working. That's the intersection. And you're just going to constantly be like moving more and more towards that.
Right.
Patty said, what is the safety online for doing these steps? Do you have things in place? What does that look like? If you could unmute yourself and maybe clarify, I don't understand what that means.
There she is. Summer, thank you for your information. My husband is a very, he's very concerned about computer and having us use the computer for things outside of stuff that we would just normally see. So I was just curious, as when you do something like this, what are some of the security measures? Like, do you get people who may try to, I'm going to use what my husband might think of, like hacking into or using in the wrong way. Or have you ever had any of that difficulty of, using this kind of approach and getting people's emails and having any problems with that?
Like problems with the people who signed up or hacking?
Yeah, I guess I'm not quite sure if I can explain myself. I guess just the safety of overall of using the computer this way, you know, the computer systems for people not getting into your own personal stuff. If you're trying to do this as a business, you know, you just use your regular, you know, Norton security, that sort of thing to keep out.
I guess it's hard to answer your question because like they can't really get into your computer unless they're hacking. What kind of computer do you have? Do you use a PC or a Mac? Okay. I don't think they're correlated.
Okay.
I mean, I guess that's what I would say. I don't think it's correlated. People are going to hack no matter what, whether you're doing a business or not, there are hackers out there. And I think the targets of hacking are based off of other kinds of actions. I don't think your business actions are as much correlated. I mean, Rita Marie, you might have more.
I think I get what you're saying, but here it's a separate thing. So if you're sending out an email to a group of people and they've opted in and they want my gift, that goes into a separate software, which we pay for. We use Infusionsoft. MailChimp is another one. GetResponse. There's a bunch of them out there. You pay a fee for a month. Some of them are low. Some of them are high. They maintain that.
Oh, I see.
People don't know who you are, like where you are. They don't have the IP address. They don't have your address. You know, if you're getting this set up, I wouldn't use your home address on your emails. I would get not a PO box, but what's those other things or mailboxes, et cetera, it used to be called, but you can get this, it gives you an address. So mine is Ranch Road, whatever. I don't live on Ranch Road, whatever, but that's where my thing is. My Ranch Road 620, right? I don't live there, but that's the address that's on there because it's a box that if anybody mails to, we go pick it up periodically. So it's a complete separation, right? As long as you do it right. Right. As long as you're not sending all your emails out from your own personal computer to big mailing lists, that's a different thing. And it's just not practical to even do that.
It would be kind of spammy to do that, quite honestly. Yeah. Like, you know, and you can do a BCC to a bunch of people that you like know, but you technically have to be really careful. You're not really supposed to be doing a BCC on a Gmail to people that are signed up for your list because you are offering a lot, like, you should be offering a level of security where, you know, I mean, but even then, just there's not a lot of chance of something happening. I don't know. I think it's very, very low. You have a much higher chance of getting somebody stealing your credit card number by going and using a gas pump than you do getting hacked at, you know, through your computer. Mm-hmm. And then if you're really concerned about it, I mean, there's virus protection and things like that to make sure that people can't get on your computer. You can use that for PCs. I know for Macs, it's really hard. It's much, much harder to get hacked on a Mac just because of the way the programming is set up. So I personally, if you're following the steps that Rita Marie's laying out for you, this wouldn't be a concern of mine. I mean, it would just be a non-concern. So I hear that there's some fear there and there is some concern. So you know, maybe talk with your husband a little bit more and get him to write out, like, really, like, give me specifics of what he's concerned about, because it would be useful to just kind of figure out where that, I feel like there's some sort of fear coming in from something. And I don't think it's that relevant to this. People can hack your website. They can hack stuff like that, but
they can hack your computer. They can hack any of it.
It doesn't
increase your chances of it.
They're not going to show up at your house.
Separate. They're really totally separate.
Yeah. So, Dr. Marie, so you were saying, would you have a different computer or whatever you would want to use to do something like that? No, that's not what you're saying.
It's my main computer, but it's a service.
It's a service that does not exist
on your site. It's kind of like Gmail exists out there in the cloud somewhere.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
These are services, and they have all the security built into them. The people that give you their email address are more at risk than you are taking their email address, because you know, then you can send them all kinds of spam. You could sell their names to somebody and then they start getting, you know, soap in the mail or whatever.
Thank you for that clarification. Again, that comes to with my, when I started this whole thing, is that that's one of my, I don't know enough about, so it's kind of why I'm
asking. So one of the things I want to remind you all of is we have Practice Building Success System is one of the parts of NEPT, and you can go in there, and we have six of my presentations that I did on all these different pieces, and then we have guests that have come in and talked about a lot of this. So we do talk about list building, and we talk about the different softwares that you can get. Probably needs to be updated because that video was made a few years ago and there's some new ones out there, but yeah.
So what would be, I would love to, I would love for people to chat in the chat box if you have any questions and you want to talk to me, or if there's anybody who wants a particular hot seat to like whittle down, like if you're on the brink of creating an opt-in or a freebie and you need some help with that, you know, type your, you know, type what that is in the chat, and I'm happy to talk with you. But everybody else, I want you to type in what would be the first freebie that you could consider working on. Like, what is the one that stands out as the easiest, the most attainable, the simplest to create and get up there and going? What's a working title or the topic and the style? What would you use? Would you use a webinar? Would you use a PDF? I'm really curious. I'd just love to see how this lands with people.
And I want to address one thing. Maybe you can address it. Creating constant, I guess you mean content. Content is the challenging part, what Mary says. And for me, what I look at is I look at people who are like, so say, for example, you love to be in the kitchen. You know, you just post what your new recipe is, right? I just go in the kitchen and go, oh, I just made up a new recipe. Take a picture of it and post it. And it's out there and it takes seconds. You know, I put it out on Facebook to make it into a an opt-in is a little bit different, but getting the content, if you're doing, what is it most interested in? What new exercise program did you just hear? What little nuance to a specific old exercise did you just do and get great results with your client with? What breathing technique did you introduce to somebody? Whatever it is you're doing on a regular basis, think about that as being the content. Okay, I'll give Lynn as an example. Lynn, for a while there, I don't know if she still does it, was just giving her kids her cell phone and laying on the floor and showing an exercise and talking about why this is good for whatever, right? Simple, simple stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, and your consistency, if you struggle with consistency or creating content, the best place I would start is just, you know, either like writing an email that you send out once a month that's just, you know, about anything that's related to your business, or doing a blog post very simply on that same topic. And this is, I mean, to me, when you're talking about what kind of content that you want to put out regularly, I do think that there's a little bit more in terms of branding to talk about, like what's the relevancy, how does this move people towards like your actual bigger vision of what you're creating, right? Because you can spend a lot of time writing a whole bunch of blogs that later maybe nobody will look at, but sometimes that's part of the process, because writing is thinking, you know, writing is actually the process of discovering what it is that you think. And so, you know, I go back, I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of blog posts. They go back all the way to like 2007. And, you know, you look at my first blog posts, they're horrible, but who cares? I had to start somewhere. You just had to start. And part of it is you're starting to learn how to use the technology, you know, trying to figure out that piece. I do like what Lynn said, three herbs you can put in your water to give you more energy. And then Elaine had a question about opt-ins, and I would love to chat with you, Elaine. I'm curious. I have a couple questions for you.
Yeah, I have a two-page stress opt-in. I have a one-page really simple kind of fill in your blank to make a change relating to food or exercise or whatever. I have some that are simple and some that are a little bit more complicated, but I cannot seem to get people to like go to the post, read the post, and then commit, you know, put their name and email on the dotted line. There's something, and I'm kind of thinking maybe, you know, it's because I thought maybe I was too complicated because my stress one is kind of complicated. So that's when I done some simpler ones. I mean, like right now I have a banner at the top, a sticky bar.
What's your website?
ElaineWatkins.com. And I have a sticky bar. It's just a cheat sheet. It's just 21 ideas for making healthy changes. And so they don't have to fill out any forms. It's just a printout. And, you know, and yet I'm still not getting subscriptions. And so right now I'm kind of thinking maybe it's because I'm not marketing them very well. I know I'm also trying to be more branded towards being informative rather than just like recipes and really overly simplified stuff. So maybe that's what, because I had my daughter say it's like people wouldn't know that you are a health coach. They might just think that you're a health enthusiast. And so I'm trying to shift what I've been writing about to build authority, basically.
Yeah. And so is your, what is your main topic on? Is it like, do you just stress the main thing that you work on with? Is this your website?
Yeah, this is my website. I really want to focus on women, hormones, not getting overwhelmed with making healthy changes, basically. Really trying to target women that are not necessarily young. So like they're, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s. They don't have to have a diagnosis, but they just want to make changes, or they know they need to make changes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things I would say. First of all, like get my 21 easy health tips. The question I have to ask is what's in it for me? You know, this, I would say, I mean, can I just be brutally honest?
Tell me, because okay. I really am.
Yeah. Okay. So to me, when you say 21 easy health tips, you're not telling me what for, because it's too vague. I'm like health. Well, anyone could go, well, I am healthy. I'm fine. I don't need this. You know, you have to like somehow make this a little bit juicier. So a lot of what people do, it's that enthusiasm piece, or it's the piece around problem, solution. What's the problem that you're solving? So like my webinar, for example, I mean, you could still make this as an opt-in for a PDF, the three major mistakes most people make when trying to heal their gut and what to do instead. Like we know the avatar, there's going to be three tips. And we understand that there's going to be a gut healing thing that happens there. And we're talking about the mistakes. Whoa, am I making those mistakes? Like there's a lot of psychology in that title that I feel like you could bring something into this title to get it juicier for people to be like, oh, wow, I do need that. So if you're talking to women and you're talking about hormone, I mean, the first thing I would say is you want your ideal avatar to know that this is for them. So right now, I don't know who this is for. I'm looking at this as if would I sign up? I don't even know if this is for me or not. So what I would consider with, especially for your top, you know, little hello bar here, is get something that's very specific. Like what's one problem that you solve with women that's hormonally based?
Are you asking me or are you telling me to consider?
Yeah, no, I'm asking.
Oh, like hormone. Well, like, are you asking, say, for example, in relation to thyroid, for example,
whichever, something energy, that you work with people,
it could be particular. I would say probably energy would be more attention getting, I guess, because they might not know that they have a thyroid issue, for example.
Does your avatar know that they have, what does your avatar know?
Well, I don't know. See, that's the thing. My avatar would know, but my email list is so small.
So if your avatar would know that they have a thyroid issue, then you speak to that avatar.
Okay.
That's a person you'll attract.
Okay.
So you always start with your avatar. And so if it's a thyroid issue, so what kind of issue, what kind of thyroid problem would you be able to help?
Energy, weight are those that were what I was trying to focus on.
Okay. Gotcha.
But of course it would, you know, cascade into others, you know?
Of course. But this is, you know, like with my opt-in, it's the top recommended fermented food for healing the gut. Like, it's, you know, sure, ideal. I teach people all sorts of very in-depth things, but that's still the heal your gut and know that I'm working with my avatar when I, you know, by speaking to the gut piece, you know, and even more so that I'm talking about a fermented food. It's going to be somebody who's aware that fermented foods do something for healing the gut. Like, cause my avatar generally is a nutrition nerd. So I'm just trying to think through. So this is somebody who does know they have a thyroid problem. So, I would even go more towards like, I don't know about the 21 easy tips or, you know, I don't know how well, like, I think you'd have to test to see how many tips would be the best, but I'm just going to say.
Would you recommend I only, cause I have other opt-ins throughout, I have the stress opt-in. Should I not offer more than one opt-in?
You can offer more than one opt-in. I think it's fine. What kind of thyroid issues do your ideal client usually have?
Well, I was usually trying to focus on the weight.
I mean, what's their thyroid problem?
They would be low thyroid.
Low thyroid, okay. I would switch it over to something like three tips for, I'm just going to brainstorm. I'll say one and then we'll keep going. Three tips for getting stuck weight to budge for women with low thyroid. You know, I mean, I would just tackle head on the problem, the avatar, and the solution all in that title. Mm-hmm. And I would work with that. I always start with like that one concept and then I get it to where finally it kind of flows. It has some sort of intrigue to it or curiosity building or, you know, some way for them to go, wow, I really just want to know that. Or like the one thing that women with low thyroid are doing wrong to lose weight. I mean, and then that can just be a really, like, then you can talk about whatever you want in the ebook. Ideally, whatever you talk about will lead to a next step of something that you offer, though.
So basically, I'm not being specific enough. I need to be more fine-tuned specifically to my narrow avatar.
You do. Absolutely. Because if you want to attract that avatar, you need to speak to her. You need to know who she is, this one woman in your mind. And, you know, I always like, so I talk about it in terms of who am I talking to? What is their problem? What is the triggering event? And what is the reasonable result that I can offer them? That's my formula for thinking about my avatar. So for my gut rebuilding program and like my gut rebuilding website, my avatar is a woman who has digestive issues that got really bad when she started taking antibiotics, and I'm going to help her achieve the golden doodle, which
wow.
is
so you're
not a dog.
Specific. I was not even close to thinking I should be that specific. Okay.
It's very specific because I want, like I'm saying, this is for somebody who's having bad bowel movements, right? Like their digestion hasn't gotten back to normal since they took antibiotics. Yes, I work with people who don't take antibiotics. Yes, I work with men. Yes, I work with, you know, like all these various things that I will work with anybody who feels like I'm talking to them, but I'm talking to the one specific avatar so that I have the opportunity to have a conversation with her ongoing the whole time in my work. And it helps us stay focused. It helps us create a benchmark. Does this, and like for people who are talking about struggling with content, okay, is this piece of content going to be right for a woman who has digestive issues, who took antibiotics and it made it worse, and she really, we know we can help her achieve a good BM, a golden doodle. Like if it doesn't, if that piece of content doesn't reach that benchmark, it's a no. If an affiliate comes to us and says, hey, be on this summit, and it doesn't reach that benchmark for us, is that group of people going to be there? No, the answer is no. So it helped, that level of focus helps us make, it's a guidepost for every decision that we make on the website, in terms of our emails that we send out. And then it really helps me envision kind of this one person and this one person's struggle. And yes, I help people with rosacea. I help people with IBS. I help people with Crohn's. I help people with like very serious complications. But if I know that across the board, I know I can get you to have a good poop and that's the reasonable result, then I never have to feel like a fraud. I know that I'm staying within what I know how to do well.
Okay.
You know, and so I think that will help you to have the triggering event. So I talk about the antibiotics. You took, so with your thyroid woman, what would her triggering event be? And the reason the triggering event is important is because the triggering event is the thing that makes her go seek a solution. So for a thyroid woman, her triggering event could be, I'll just name a couple that come to mind. One would be, she put on her yoga pants today and split the butt out. She is letting her kids sit on a screen for 3 hours in the afternoon so she can nap. You know, like think about all the things that, like, what is the thing that put her over the edge and realized, oh my gosh, this has now gone into something that was like a tolerable discomfort into a problem. I'm now acknowledging that I have a problem and I need help, because that's the point where somebody actually will engage with you to get to seek that solution. If you're reaching for people without that triggering event, they might be sitting back with gut health problems and not even care. Who knows? They don't even care. If they don't realize that having diarrhea every day isn't a problem, if they don't realize it is a problem, then they're not going to seek a solution. You know, so you really have to be dialed into that problem. Does that help? Does that make sense?
Yes, that told me a lot.
I want to say one thing about your stress offering. I would also remind you that stress is probably more of a solution, even though it seems like it's not. It's probably, for a thyroid woman, so stress is a solution. So I would consider ways of tweaking that title so that it has a little bit more to do with the problems she's facing right now, and that you give her the solution as, hey, by the way, 99% of the people I work with, when they figure out this one stress solution, their thyroid starts getting better automatically.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Because I think that people, it's harder when you say stress, they don't always want to move toward it. And they don't always identify that something that they have power to do something about, whereas their weight, they do at least feel like that is somewhat in their power. Their energy levels are somewhat in their power. And then one last thing I want to say is I think you should take this legal piece out completely here, and you need to scoot it down here.
Oh, I thought it had to be at the top. Okay.
I mean, unless I'm giving you bad legal advice, I'm not.
No. I knew I had to share that. So because of people with GDPR and all that other stuff. So
I just don't think it should be here at all. I think it makes it look like confusing about what you are here.
Yeah. About trying to change all of this to be more stressing of the coaching rather than the food. And again, the
coaching is the solution. So I would almost, if you're really clear that you're working with somebody with thyroid, I would have somewhere this should say thyroid. This should say thyroid somewhere. Like, you know, healthy thyroid, eating for healthy thyroid. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see thyroid more here, so I'm getting a very clear idea of who this is for.
Okay.
Like, you know who you should really look at?
I've been really just like, here is life as a person with autoimmune, and here are different areas that relate to healthy decisions that could help you with your autoimmune, for example, you know?
Right. Well, so I'm just going to, I'm sure you're aware of Dr. Isabella Wentz.
Yeah.
I want to show you something, and I think this is useful for everybody. This is a person who has her avatar so dialed in, more than almost anybody out there, and this is the reason that she has been so successful. Who is her avatar? Do you know?
Person with thyroid, Hashimoto's specifically.
Boom. You know that. It's like, there's no question. The fact that you can say that in like not even a full sentence shows you that she has done her job. She has done her job at communicating what she does. All of her books have Hashimoto's in it. If you look at all of the I think this is a really good exercise for anybody who's curious about content. Think about your avatar and then look at hers and go, look, coffee, bad for thyroid. What you need to know about thyroid disease. Is your T4 medication working for you? Why women have more thyroid disorders? I mean, what's really cool, get some sunshine for your thyroid. So now she's talking about that. Surprising effect of zinc and Hashimoto's. Like every single article is for her avatar. Her avatar cannot leave her website because, you know, she can't stop talking about every single thing that somebody with thyroid is going to, or with Hashimoto's is going to interact with in their life. They are now going to know what to do about it when they go to her website. And it's not just because, I mean, she is prolific and she has writers now and they, you know, she's at a different level, but she started out with such a clear vision for who her avatar was that it just made her move faster on the business spectrum. Is that helpful?
Yes, that's very helpful.
I want to add for that, just on Isabella, you know, I met her at first time I went to Mindshare. And she actually, the first time she ever did an interview online was on my radio show back then.
What?
She was like, she completely, you know, and then boom, she had just written her book. It was self-published and nobody ever heard of her. And yeah. And so she has done such an amazing job of owning that niche, owning that avatar and skyrocketed. So it doesn't mean that, you know, just because you are where you are right now, that in a few years, what was it, like 3 years later, she had a New York Times bestselling book. 3 years.
Yeah. And I'm good friends with her husband, who does a lot of like the back end stuff in her business. And there's a couple things that he told me. And one really stood out to me, which is that they actually considered starting a business where they were going to move into all these other niches. And he, you know, they were going to work with like adrenals. They were going to like work. I don't even remember all of them. They had this idea that they were going to do that. They ended up not doing it. But what was fascinating to me about that conversation is that he knows, they know they are so good at this niche marketing thing that they know they could be successful if they branched out and did another niche. I think they decided not to because it's working. Why go crazy?
Why add it on?
But I think that's really useful information for all of you to hear and to really get clear on that avatar, because the avatar, it all begins with the avatar. And your avatar isn't wrong. You know, you get to work with whoever you want to work with. There's not going to be a wrong answer. The part you might want to get really clear about is, what is their real triggering event? What is the triggering event that is, you know, 80% of the people who come to you, what is that triggering event? For me, it really is antibiotics. That's the biggest reason that people come to me. And that may not be that they took antibiotics yesterday or a month ago. It could have been 5 years ago that they took it and it's never been the same.
Okay. Wow, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That was very helpful. I think the other thing I would just add to that is your positioning of that. It doesn't stand out. I didn't even see it. When I got there, I'm like, where's her opt-in? So that's not the best placement for it. The best placement really is where Summer had hers, which is over here. And you want it to be the thing that their eyes go to, right? So ideally, you know, it's got some kind of border so that when they look at the page, they see download your free XYZ. And they relate to it because you're mentioning them as the avatar. You're mentioning a problem that they have and they see it and they go, oh yeah, I want that.
Yeah. Is there time for questions? Because I caught some questions that might want to be answered. I could read them for you if you wish, because I put them in a separate doc.
Oh, great. Thank you. Go for it.
Okay. So just open it up. Okay, so this one came from Maria. I'm not sure if we have time for this, but it says, I'd like to get input about an opt-in I have partially built.
Yeah, let's run through the questions real quick, and if there are more questions.
Okay, yeah. And these ones are probably really quick. This is from me. So I'm hearing from you, Summer, that e-news is still the way to go, but I thought more people are on social media rather than checking their email for e-news because they're always so bombarded.
I'm not saying it's the way to go. I'm just saying do what comes easy for you so that you're creating something.
Right.
Sure, starting a YouTube channel or doing a podcast would be ideal, but there's a bunch more steps in that process, and there's going to be a longer lag time before that gets out there, before you can produce it. And also, if you don't know, if you're not clear on who your avatar is and who you're having the conversation with, then it can be more difficult to figure out who you're talking to, what this is for. If you have just complete clarity about who you're talking to, what that, you know, concept is, what your conversation is with the world and with this ideal avatar, then yeah, you could absolutely do a social media piece of some sort. It's fine. The clarity is the distinction.
Okay. I think you're still going to be driving them. You don't want to trust that your whole build, your whole list is on a social media channel that you don't have any control over. So you still want to drive them, people from YouTube or a blog or podcast or social media into something free that you have on your site. But yeah, you're right. Not to rely only on that is a good thing too.
Yeah. I do think it's harder for people to open emails and see that stuff, but I mean, I will say though, recently, like I started sending out a little bit less. I started sending out a little bit, I don't know, I would say more emotional, more honest, more vulnerable emails that just, I don't know, they're more real to me. They feel like I'm having a real conversation with somebody, like one of my friends. And my open rate keeps going up. And I'm sending out once every 7 to 10 days, which isn't enough to, like, you know, if I sent out more, I would make more money, but I'm sending out a little bit less and I'm getting a higher open rate. And it's interesting to see how that all works. There's a lot of different things to consider there, but I mean, I think I would also answer, I mean, I'd ask you, where are you at in your business? Like, do you have a good list? Do you have a clarity about your avatar?
I'm in the infancy. So I'm kind of in the exploration stage, I would say, right now, because I shifted from, what I was doing prior to maybe a different niche. So yeah, so I'm sort of exploring right now.
So then I would start with this list building piece. And the reason is because no matter what you do on social media, you have to be giving, like exactly what Rita Marie said, you have to have the opt-in. So build the opt-in first. And you can always, once you know how to build it, you can build another one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good, thank you. So this one comes from Jan. She says, Summer, do you find simple, clear offers with minimal words, are they better than longer emails with stories, testimonials like by a professional copywriter? Want me to reread that again?
No. I guess my question is that just for, like, are you talking about an email or a sales page?
Let's open Jan.
More in terms of emails, I find it, there's so many emails, and I've heard this from other people, and what I've done, really simple, concise, I got much better results than trying to even do more, fewer words. Work better than even a few, not even doing the copy and testimonials.
If that's working better, keep doing it. Okay. It doesn't matter what it doesn't matter. There's no right answer in a lot of this. There's no actual formula. It's, you know, because if you look at what I do versus what someone else does, it might be totally different because it's all the combination of your personality, what you're selling. I mean, there's so many factors. I wish there was an exact formula. There's a general outline. There's like, you want to have an opt-in. You want to have, you know, you want to have something to sell. But the way you do it specifically is definitely through testing. I have noticed that I do a combo. There are some people who I think need a little bit more words. They need a little more encouragement. They need more testimonials. So my email sequences, when I follow up from selling a program, like when I'm selling, if I like do a webinar, I launch the program, I might do a 7 or 10 day follow-up email sequence. I do a combo. So some of them are very, very short and some of them are longer. And that way there's just, it's, you know, it's different cadence, different style.
The other thing I think with keeping in mind what the point of an email is to get a click. To get them to click through. So you can have the testimonials and all that other detail on a page, on a sales page or an opt-in page, whatever. But the goal of an email is to create curiosity enough that they go, oh, I want to see what that is. And it could be one sentence is all it needs to be. You get them to click and then they, you know, get to get all the details. And I know I tend to fall on the side of, well, I've just got to tell them everything in the email. But I think I get better click-throughs on my emails if I just keep it short and curiosity provoking.
Yeah. Good. Lynn's question is, what is the best way to find people? Like, where are the sandboxes they play in? That's a good question.
What do you mean find people for what?
As clients, I assume, but you can open up Lynn maybe, or I can open up Lynn. Which Lynn was that one? I had two. I don't think it was me.
Oh, it was you. Okay. It was me. Yeah. You know, we talk about social media and building our list and everything, but where are these people? You know, I've done this where I go to other groups and build relationships with them and try to do that, but I'm just wondering, where are these people that I'm supposed to reach out to build my list?
So you have the opt-ins created, is that correct?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I just need to know to find the people.
Yeah. So you're in a little bit of a different stage that like you, since you already have it created, you're in the next stage. I think there's a lot of opportunities. I think, you know, networking groups with more colleagues is important. Find colleagues that can help promote to their list about you. Do you mind sharing how big your list is right now?
It's about 500 people.
Yeah. So I think, you know, you're in a good position to potentially do even something a little bit bigger, like do a summit.
I've done that.
You have?
Yeah, I did it. Yeah, actually, Rita Marie was on my very first one. And she and who else was on there? Tony. And I think Steph was on there.
How many people did you have on the summit?
I think it was 5.
So it wasn't enough people. I mean, you really should do like a 35 to 50 person summit where because a summit is a list build. So you would want to have a lot of speakers on there so that everybody's emailing out about it. Summit could be an opportunity for you. A podcast could be an opportunity for you. Something, you know, you need to get out there in front of other people's audiences at this point. And so that's what you have to kind of figure out. The way that I did it was, for me, it was first off doing my first summit and being just really strategic in who I asked. Yeah. And even understanding that the people that say no, you're still creating a strategy. Yeah. Because just by reaching out to some of these people who said no, they now know who you are.
Right.
And later when they see you like rise up in the ranks, they're going to be like, oh man, I said no to her when she asked me. And like people will come back and be like, you know, I'm really sorry I said no to that. Can I email out for you? I had that happen this past year. Somebody was like, man, I said no to that thing a few years ago. And I just feel so bad.
Well, awesome. I've actually had a couple of people reach out to have me on their summit, but my list isn't big enough.
Just get on their summits.
Well, I've said,
you convince them.
It's right. Your job to sell yourself to right. them and say, listen, I know my summit's not, I know my list isn't that big. It's not going to help, but they're very engaged. And I,
well, and so I promoted myself as the quality person, not that the rest of the list wasn't, but you have me on there just because the content I have is so darn good.
Yeah. Did they say yes?
I am not on that summit.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a good muscle building thing for me. So I look at it as that opportunity, but I totally understand what you're saying about reaching out in collaboration.
Collaboration, doing like, you know, seeing what you can offer people. One thing that's a really cool way of getting on people's radars is like going around and finding people who are aligned with your list or your avatar and saying, hey, can I promote your stuff? Mm-hmm. Hey, I really want to promote your stuff. And you just start promoting other people's stuff, but you ask them, you don't do it without them knowing. You literally ask and say, what is the most successful thing, like promotion that you have? What's the thing I can promote for you? Ask mm-hmm. some big people out there. It means a lot to somebody with a large list if somebody comes and says, hey, I want to promote your stuff.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I think that, but you're going to have to just kind of keep throwing. Here's my best analogy for where all of you are at. You are standing at that one side of a hallway. On the other side of a hallway, there's a wall. And you have spaghetti. And you're trying to decide if it's done, it's gluten-free, and you're throwing it across the wall and you're trying to see if it's gonna stick or not, right? But the lights are off. So you have no idea whether the spaghetti is sticking or not. You don't know, you're not at that place. There's gonna be a point in your business and the trajectory of your business where the light switch flips on and you're gonna see across that wall and you're gonna go, oh, that's stuck, that's interesting. And then from that point forward, when you throw it, you're gonna know if it sticks or not. Because you have the feedback that you need, the metrics that you need, you have the volume of customers that you need to know if something's working. But I think for you, you're gonna have to be strategic. The other thing that could be useful for you is to potentially do a deep dive with someone, happy to work with you, of just doing like, looking at your marketing, looking at your messaging. What is the thing that you're like, how can we get you on everybody's podcasts? Is there a reason? Is there a thing? Do you have a hook? Do you have like a big message to share that's different than what other people are saying that stands out, that really resonates with people? If you can get on other people's podcasts and other people's summits, it will really, really help.
Yeah, that's a very good point. The one thing I would say with you, I think I see you promoting things on Facebook, like this summit or that. Instead of just promoting them, go to that person and say, hey, I love what you're doing. I'd love to be an affiliate. Can I promote you? That's how I got in with Ocean Robbins. I saw that he was doing this thing and I went, I had a minuscule list at the time. And I just reached out. I said, oh my God, I love you. I love your father's books. What can I do to support you? And that's how I got in. And I started to support him and he knew it, right? I didn't just do it behind the scenes.
Well, and to piggyback on that, Rita Marie, the truth about how I've gotten the best connections in this industry is that I literally am not doing it for business. I make friends. Mm-hmm. I reach out to people. I make real friendships. When I go to a networking event, I do not sit there with a list of the people I have to meet, the things I have to do. I know I'm in the right place at the right time. Even if it seems like everybody's at the pool and I'm sitting here doing something else, it's because there's a reason. I'm about to bump into somebody that I need to meet. And I have a genuine connections with them. I don't ask stupid questions. I don't ask them to promote for me. I just get to know them. Who are you? What are you doing? You know, I mean, I'm also kind of a little bit of I can be naive sometimes about stuff, but I'm not afraid to ask questions. Like I hung out with Dave Asprey when I first met him and was just like, who are you? Everybody's treating you like a big deal. Who are you? You know, and I think he was just like, what? Why are you talking to me like this? Like, this is so weird, you know? And I was just being real and we had a great time and we have a good connection. And I think that part of that is just like at my core, and people will know this when we hang out, like I'm genuinely there to just, I'm curious about people. I like people. I want to know what they're up to. And, you know, I feel like we're all on a team together. You know, if I can push people a little bit to do better, that's great. Cause I also would love for them to give me a little push when I'm down, and that it's not about I don't have any ulterior motives. Like even coming here, like I could pitch to you guys, I could do all this other stuff. I don't have an ulterior motive. I just want to help. And I think that's a really good way to get through the world. It's like, I would say that's kind of my secret sauce to developing relationships. It's genuine. And I'm not trying to do business. And it happens when it's the right time. And when it's the right time and it happens, I guarantee you it happens on a level that's 10 times what it would have happened if I would have tried to force it earlier.
We still have more time for questions. So I know that we have somebody coming up. We have a few questions. We have
somebody coming on and I haven't heard from her and she's not on yet. Let's see if I can see her there. How many more questions are there?
One, two, three.
She okay. actually had mentioned in a Facebook message to you that she's ready whenever.
Oh, I didn't see it. Why didn't I see it? I keep looking.
Well, if you guys want to post these in your group, the INE group, right? Is it the INE group or the NEPT group?
Yeah, NEPT.
Tag me. I think I'm in there. Tag me. Yeah. I'd love to finish up answering these questions.
But, yeah, why don't we do it that way? And then Nikki, could you respond to her and just give her the, because I had sent it to her and I'm like, where is she? Where?
Yeah, I wasn't sure what you'd given her, so I didn't.
I gave her the link to this room and the password. So whatever that is.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can give her that. How come I'm not? I'll be checking constantly.
Much summer. That was really helpful. I didn't mean to hog the meeting, but
I was a perfect demonstration. I felt like that was really, really nice to show everybody that.
Yeah.
Can we ask one last question, Summer? Because you said you offered to promote somebody, and then Rita Marie, you said, "Oh, I asked them if I can become an affiliate." So my question would be: would you just offer to promote them to build a relationship, or would you, like, without even talking about affiliate?
No, I would always follow up with the affiliate piece because you want them to see your name pop into their affiliate account, and then you also want them to have to cut you a check, even if it's for $50.
Right.
Cut you a check, or you know, you want them to have to pay because then they go, "Oh, okay, wow, you made me some money. Thank you." I mean, yeah, you want, that's a tracking method.
Okay, no, I was just curious if it's a famous person, if you're more interested in the relationship or if you also want to. Okay, got it, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's saying that she's in the waiting room, but do you see anybody in a waiting room, Mary?
I'm going to check, yeah, let's see, participant?
I don't even know if she's
No.
Web thing.
Okay. Nope.
Well, thank you, Summer. This was amazing. I know this was amazing. Why don't you guys get up and stretch your legs for 5 minutes, come back, and we'll have Nikki talk to us about Canva.
And Summer, you should do a pitch. Oh. I want to know how much it is to work with you.
Nikki seems to be in.
Where is she? I am. I've just arrived.
Oh, there she is. Okay. I thought I saw you.
I am. I'm just going to get started. Here we go.
Yay! Oh, there she is. Oh, she is here. Okay. I was like, where is she? Did I give her the wrong email or whatever, the wrong Zoom link? Okay. So you're here. Great. I'm so glad.
Hello.
Thank you
nice
so much
for being here.
I'm going
to,
yeah, I think. So anyway, let me just go back to Allison introduced us. Dr. Allie introduced us. Allie has been just posting these amazing Canva. She just posts these beautiful graphics all over the place. I'm like, how do you do that? Oh, it's easy. So we had Nikki come in probably back in March, I think. So a couple of months ago, to do one of our practice building success story talks. And she did an amazing job. And she talked about some of the stuff like the importance of list building, which we already, you know, we got that right. And she talked about some of the things you can do with Canva to use for graphics on Facebook, graphics on Instagram. But the other thing, which Summer just talked to us a lot about, was creating eBooks, right? And how you can actually create your ebook right there in Canva, and that you have certain templates that you can use and all that. So we'd love to hear more about that. And Allie just showed us, she said you helped her with it, but oh my God, her ebook was gorgeous. Absolutely.
Yeah, she did an amazing job, didn't she?
She did. She did such a phenomenal job. And so, you know, why don't you just get started by telling folks a little bit about yourself? What I'm going to do is stop the recording and start a new one.